Today is Easter Sunday, and I was talking to Lord about this, actually, and Lord just gave me a word yesterday for you regarding Easter Sunday, regarding, you know, what he has done. And I want to sort of bring something to you that is not new, but at the same time, I believe it's very relevant. And I want to just remind you, I want to spend the day today reminding you about what God has done. And we're going to look at some scriptures, we're going to look at some things. Today I brought the PowerPoint because I've got a lot of scriptures to give you. And I want you to see clearly, and I want you to understand clearly, this is not just, we're not just a bunch of religious people gathering doing religious things. But we serve a God who is alive. We serve a God who is alive. And we serve a God who means business. We serve a Lord who has provided for his people a number of things. I don't want to say too much right now because I want to sort of egg you a little bit in a particular direction so that you understand completely what I'm saying. And you will in a moment. Now, there are two things, okay, that needs to be eradicated from our lives, and both these things I'm going to name now have ignorance in them. The first thing we need to recognize or we need to eradicate from our lives, it's not on the screen, so don't worry, it's ignorance about what God has actually provided for us. You see, Jesus came and he died on the cross. But like we've been singing, like we've been rightly celebrating, he rose again. And it's important for us to remember, and this is all, what I'm going to do today is just remind you, okay, of what God has done. We need to remember that Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and created thus what we call the salvation package. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. The salvation package. So we need to eradicate, we need to remove from our lives, the first thing we need to do is to remove from our lives the ignorance that exists about what that salvation package actually is. And the second thing we need to remove from our lives is how to obtain the resources that God has provided in that salvation package for us. Now you hear me talk about salvation package a lot. So I want you to tell me out loud, okay, what are some of the things the salvation package has given to us? What are some of the resources that God has given to us today while we can come and we can celebrate? What are some of them? Freedom. Healing, of course. Forgiveness. Peace.
Joy.
Love. Love. Come on, you can't be dried up.
Hope.
Hope, yeah. Anything else?
Future.
He's given us a future. You better believe it. Mercy. Is grace. Do we even know what grace is? But anyway, yeah, is love. Etc., etc. Alright? Sorry, what was that?
Liberty.
Liberty or freedom. God has given... That's some of the things that salvation package has. And I want us to really stop and to think and to ponder about that, because a lot of people, when we hear the word salvation, we think about getting saved. Oh, I'm saved and that's it. No, it's not. And you've named some of the things just now that God has provided. So there's lots of resources. We need to, first of all, recognize that God has provided resources. And number two, we need to know how to make a faith withdrawal, okay, to access those resources. I'm going to spend this week and perhaps next week and the week after talking about that, how to make that withdrawal. I'll start a little bit today, but I'm going to continue in the weeks to come because we need to understand that, and God wants us to have and to obtain the full package of what he has provided for us. So today, I'm going to talk to you about accessing spiritual resources. Can you read that together for me? Ready? Read. Accessing spiritual resources. And I'll put there part one. Accessing spiritual resources. The spiritual resources exist, but you will never sort of receive the benefit of it if you do not know how to access those resources. So that's what we want to talk about today. Now, I'm going to come up with a number of keys, okay? And the first key that we need to recognize on this Easter Sunday, that we're celebrating the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead, giving us all of what you just named and more, okay? But we need to know how to make that withdrawal. And the first thing I want to talk about today is the first key, which is faith. Come on, everybody say faith. Say it louder, faith.
Faith.
Right, good. Now, we're going to talk about faith, okay? And that's key number one. So let's have a little look at what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at what is faith. As I said to you, I'm just going to remind you. You know all this already, but we need to be reminded because sometimes we can forget, okay? And sometimes we're praying for things and we're looking for things and we don't see it and we're wondering why. Why am I not seeing it? It could be because you're not engaging your faith the way that God wants you to engage your faith. And that's why it's good to go over things and to repeat things. That's why it's good to remind one another of what God's word says pertaining to these things. So we're going to look at what is faith, why do we need it, how do we get it, and we're going to take a little look at our hearts. This is not an exhaustive teaching, I'm just reminding you of some of the things that I've already taught, you know, on this, some of the things that you already know. So, let's look at what is faith, okay? And the scripture, which is Hebrews 11 verse 1, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Alright? Let's look at that. First of all, I'm not going to stay long on this. First of all, the word now, okay, that brings into a play a time frame. Faith isn't tomorrow. Faith isn't next week, next month, next year. Faith is now. Come on, repeat after me. Faith is now.
Faith is now.
So I have to act now. Alright? If you want to see the benefits of faith, you begin from now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Now. Now faith is. The word faith, by the way, is the Greek word pistis. I don't know if I have it. I can't remember if I put it up there. The Greek word pistis, which means firm persuasion. It means to be fully persuaded. Alright? So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance is something that becomes, if it is not, tangible. Something that you can hold. Something that you can receive. Sometimes something that you can see. Or the effects of faith you can see. When you're healed, you may not see healing, but you will see the effects of healing. Are you with me, church? All right? So, get a hold of that. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now, hope is expected end. Okay? You haven't got it. And if you've got hope but you've not got faith, you will not see the substance of faith. You will not see, will not materialize before you have. You cannot just have hope. Hope is expected end. You need that, but you can't just have that. You need faith to work with that. Hope points to, hope which is expected end, points to the substance of the thing that you're believing for. It points to the thing that you're hoping for. Okay? That's what it does. It points to the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you know by now that if it's of faith, you can't see it, hear it, taste it, smell it, and touch it. If you can do any of those things, then it's not of faith. Alright? So it's not seen, and that's why it's hoped for. Because you're hoping to get that car. You're hoping to get that promotion. You're hoping to get your healing. You're hoping to get more money into your bank account. But you've not seen it yet. If it's there already, if you've got the promotion already, hope is not needed. Are you with me? Good. So, that's Hebrews 11 verse 1. Let's look at the Amplified Version. It says this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for and conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So it's saying the same thing as the King James Version, just blown up a little bit more, amplified, so that we can have a bit more understanding and clarity. All right, so I have got it there actually, and I've talked about this just now. Pistis, firm persuasion, fully persuaded. That's what faith is. All right, so that's number one. What is faith? It's that. Let's look at the next screen. Faith is the means, the mechanism, the tool God has given his people to live and to operate by here on earth. All right? You need that, okay, here on earth to operate. The Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, as his disciples, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. It's another way of putting it. So, faith is laying hold of the unrealities of hope, and bringing them into the realm of reality by acting on God's word. And this is why I teach and I say, faith is never passive, it is always active. So your faith has got to be working, and is or should be working, in order for you to see the benefits of the thing that you are hoping for. You've got to put it into action. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, to give a little bit of clarity. So in brief, that's what faith is. So why do we need faith? Why do we need it? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. You better believe it. He's a rewarder of those who diligently. So notice who gets the reward. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean you automatically get the reward. You're a Christian, and that means that God has provided the package for you, provided what you need. But for you to actually get what you need or something from that package, you have got to exercise faith. You've got to make what I call now a faith withdrawal from what God has already provided. So you can't let your senses speak to you and tell you and dictate to you, well, I don't understand, but I don't see. No, you don't expect to see, okay, with your physical eyes. See with the spirit of your heart. See the thing that you're believing for. And you've got to get to that point. That means you've got to cloud out everything that would want to shut out the realities that God has provided for you. You've got to discipline yourself now to say and to do the right thing or what God says, so that you can access what God has for you. So let me read it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need faith to live successfully. Why do we need faith? To live successfully. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by
faith.
Come on, say it. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? What does that mean? The just shall live by faith. When the just are those who are justified. The justified are those who are correctly aligned. Aligned to what? Aligned to God's word. Aligned to his promises. Aligned to his purpose. And I hope you see that. Alignment to God's word with a true heart is a prerequisite for God's power to flow. So in other words, if there's no alignment, you're going to miss. The power is flowing, but you won't get it. The power is flowing, but it may not flow through you. There's got to be an alignment. And that's what that's why the just shall live by faith. Those who are correctly aligned to God and his purposes, okay, will live by faith. Because the power of the God through the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you to enable you and to help you on your daily walk with Him. That's why the just shall live by faith. All right, to please God and to live right. Look at Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The word of God is clear, you know, and sometimes we read these scriptures and we read parts, we love parts, but then other parts that we don't like, we ignore. We read the first part, the just shall live by faith, but we miss the last part. If anyone withdraws himself from that, my soul has no pleasure in him. And this is God talking. So therefore, we can't draw back. Come on, say with me, I will not draw back. And in Jesus' name, that's a statement of truth for you. Okay? You will not draw back in Jesus' name. Stuff will come against you. Circumstances, people, stuff happens. It will come against you because you've got to recognize you have an enemy out there that doesn't want you to live justly. Doesn't want you to see the rewards of what God is doing for you. Or God has done for you to be manifest in your life. And so you've got to be conscious of that. We have an enemy. And maybe I'll talk about that next week or the week after. I'll talk a little bit about that. Because we've got to realize we have power in Jesus' name to overcome him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we overcome. All right. So let's look at the next screen. So we need faith to overcome the enemies of faith. Oh my gosh. And there I have it. I was just talking about him and there it is. I forgot it was there. Satan. So in Mark 4:15... the parable of the sower, verse 15 says, when they hear, Satan comes immediately. That's, you know, with God's people, when they hear the word, when does Satan come?
Immediately.
When does Satan come?
Immediately.
When does Satan come?
Immediately.
Immediately. Not in the next minute or two. Immediately. And it will come in different ways. And this is why your mind has to be trained and focused. Otherwise, you get distracted and other things will come in. And I've been in church already. You know, I've been in church and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Oh, did I turn off the fire? Did I lock the front door? And we went home one Sunday to find out we left the front door wide open. You know, because things happen and things go in your mind and you're wondering this. Did I turn off the fire? Well, thank God we've never gone home and see the fire on. You know, on the stove, with especially something on it. But what I'm saying is that there are distractions and things that can happen even while in church. And so you've got to be focused, disciplined in your mindset to make sure you're absorbing as much of God's word that you can absorb as possible. God's word has faith built into it. And if Satan can't steal your faith, he will try to weaken it. So just be aware of that and be aware of who you are and be aware of what God has done for you. So if Satan can't steal your faith, but he will try to weaken it, how does he do that? And let me give you a few examples of how. Number one, by intimidation. Come on, repeat after me. Intimidation. Alright? That's him trying to just intimidate you, really. Just trying to make you feel powerless. Make you feel less than what you're worth. That's what intimidation is. It comes to scare you, to put fear inside of you, to make you think anything other than what God's word says about you and about your circumstances. By intimidation, to turn your world upside down. How else? By doubt. To be in two minds. When you're doubting, you're in two minds. The book of James is clear. It's when you're in doubting, you're in two minds. And the Bible says, let not that man, let not that woman think they will receive anything from the Lord. Because a doubting person, a man who is in, or a woman that's in two minds, is unstable. And the Bible goes on to say, in all their ways. So you have doubt in one area of your life, it will affect every area of your life. And that's again why you need faith. All right? Firm persuasion. To be fully persuaded that God will do what he said he would do. By unbelief. Unbelief starves the soul. Faith finds food in the famine. Unbelief starves us all, but faith finds food in the famine. Unforgiveness. You can't live your life as a Christian with unforgiveness in your heart. I don't care what they've done, I don't care what they said, I don't care when it was, how long ago it was, I don't care who. You have to operate in forgiveness. Are you with me? Personally, I know what it's like to hold on to unforgiveness. You know what I found? I found that I'm doing nobody damage but myself. That's what I found. So sometimes you're hurt, and you're hurt by people. People that you love and people that you serve and people that you do good to. You're hurt by them. But I've learned that I've got to release it. I've got to let it go. Because if I don't, it will burn me on the inside. It will damage me. Remember we talked about blockages? It'll block up my pipe. And then the power of God can't flow. I can't hear from God and I can't operate for God because of unforgiveness. What you fail to forgive, you attach in your life. Forgiveness equals release. When I choose to forgive, I'm choosing to release myself from the hurt and from the pain. Stop waiting for people to accept you. Stop waiting for people to come and apologize to you. You take the first step and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I release myself from that hurt, from that pain. I release myself in the name of the Lord. And I declare that I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what you do. Take the mature approach. You're waiting for people to come and apologize or to ask you. You may be waiting forever. Unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. How else? By ignorance. Greek word skotos, which means darkness. Ignorance is not bliss. Or ignorance is not supreme happiness or utter joy and contentment. When you operate in ignorance, you can't have joy. You can't have contentment. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. God wants us to have knowledge, have information. And as we hear today on this Easter Sunday, and we realize that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die and to rise again, giving victory over the death and victory over the grave, and giving us hope and a future, we ought to be rejoicing and be thankful for what He has done. If there was no resurrection, there would be no purpose for us to be here. So God has given us a lot. Devil, Satan wants us to block that blessing. He wants us to operate in these things that I'm putting on the screen. And I've got one more coming up. He wants us to stop confessing the word. I'm going to talk a lot more about this maybe next week. Because this is where a lot of us, we fall down. We're not bold with the word. We know it, we can quote it, but we're not bold in speaking it out. But maybe because we don't recognize, we still don't recognize the fullness of what that brings when we do it. And this is not pastors saying that you should do it. This is God saying that we should do it. This is how God designed this part of His word for us to operate in. We've got to speak the word. You've got to declare the word. You've got to confess the word. You've got to proclaim the word. You've got to do it. It's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to. So, to stop you confessing the word, what is he trying to do? I've got this up here. Faith puts you in the driving seat, and Satan wants to take you out. Faith puts you in the driving seat. So no matter what the obstacles that you are facing in life, and we all face them in life, different obstacles, different time frames, different sizes, different kinds, but faith puts you in the driving seat to stay on track. To stay on with God's purposes. To stay on with His word. So no matter what I am facing, I know that if God is with me and He said He would never leave me or forsake me, then I can break through whatever is coming up against me. Are you with me, church? We've got so much than more than we recognize. We got a promise from God in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that with the trouble and the trial, with the temptation, whatever that comes our way, He will make a way of escape. Not so that we can avoid it, but so that we can bear it, so that we can go through it. God strengthens you and allows you, and we've talked on this several times, to go through troublesome times, because He wants you to be stronger. He wants you to realize that what you've got inside of you is greater than what's in the world. But Pastor David, you don't understand what I'm facing. You don't understand what's going on in the world. Pastor David may not understand, but God does. God sees it and God understands. And I'm telling you today, folks, that our faith has to be in play for us to really recognize what God is doing, what He has provided. And when the devil puts traps or puts stuff in the way, you've got the power in you to say, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not stop, I will not falter, I will not be derailed. And even if I'm derailed, I'm going to get back up on track. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get back on track. No, devil, you're not going to move me, because I'm here to move you out of the way in the name of Jesus. Let Him know who's got the power. But if you don't know it is here, and if it's not in here, and if it's not up here, this is why I'm going to talk about the mind as well. If it's not up here, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. You live out or you become what you constantly and repetitively think about yourself and about your circumstances. If you feel that you will fail, guess what? And you continuously feel that you're a failure, you will fail. If you continuously think that you are a victor despite the circumstances, despite the walls that may face you that look so big and mighty and strong, if you continually think, you know what, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to overcome this, I'm going to go through it, I don't know how, but God is going to help me. And sometimes it's when you get right to that point where you say, my God, if anything doesn't happen now, then I'm done. Anybody been there before? My two hands are up, man. Oh, only a few of us. Anybody been there? We right at you. Oh, that's better. Frighten me for a moment. But we always, God always comes through for His people. Listen, understand this. Because sometimes some of us, we think that we're going to go through things and we're going to go through pain-free. No. No, we've never had that promise from God. As a matter of fact, I have it etched in my spirit and in my mind, right? I remind myself that pain is a prerequisite when working the will of God. If you're going to serve God and if you're going to serve Him right, you're going to experience some kind of pain. Why? Because we have an opposition that we've already seen working against us. We have systems in this world that's working against the systems, if you like, the system that we belong to, the kingdom that we belong to. The kingdom of heaven doesn't function like the kingdom of the world. Because Satan has and has taken hold of, and the scripture tells us that, the kingdom of the world. But what we have is victory in the name of Jesus Christ. What we have is power in the name of Jesus Christ. What we have is everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. We have the victory. Amen. We have it. It may not look like it, but we have it. And that's what you got to confess. That's what you got to declare from your mouth. Faith is active and not passive. So how do we get faith? Number three, how do we get faith? We get faith by hearing God's word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Come on, faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing what? Hearing the word of God. You want to have the God kind of faith? You've got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going through stuff and you don't know. Go to the word of God. Find the corresponding promise. For every problem, there is a solution. For every problem, there is a promise. You go to God's word. You find the promise. And then you speak it out. You speak it out. You don't speak it out immediately. Sorry. What you do is you get it into your heart. How do we do that? Maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself. By muttering and musing, by meditation. You're writing, Psalm 45 verse 1, you are writing the words on your heart. The ones that's on your heart, and you know it, and you believe it because you've been repeating it over and over and over again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then you end up, one of these moments, you end up believing what you're saying. Because you've been saying it over and over. You're writing it there. You're writing it there. Until it gets into your spirit and you say, hey, no. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's an awakening call almost. It's like it hits home. It's like ding, the bell goes off. And the reality sets in. And that's your spirit now being activated to the truth that you've been repeating time and time and time again. Until you get up and you say, yes, God's word is true. Faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, my healing is provided in Jesus' name. Yes, I have what I need, and God already sees that and has provided for me in Jesus' name. But it comes by hearing. So I've got to hear myself saying it. I've got to say, and you need to repeat it out of your mouth and hear yourself say it time and time again. And I'm going to go into this some more, maybe next week. Romans 12 and verse 3. Think soberly as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. So every believer has a measure of faith. But because you have a measure of faith doesn't mean you have automatically, get what you want. But now you've got to activate that faith. You've got to use that faith to make a faith withdrawal for the thing that you're believing for. And that's the point I'm really getting to today. You've got to use God's word. You've got to use your faith. I won't go into this, but I've got down there, if you don't use it, you will lose it. The scripture tells us of people that have no faith. So you've got to use, it's like a muscle. You always have your muscle, I suppose. But when you've got to continuously exercise that faith for it to be strong. And that's what you've got to do in your life. Continuously exercise faith in your life to be strong in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Alright. Let's look at some more scriptures. The word must be placed in my heart. Number 4. What role does my heart play? What role does it play? It must be placed into my heart. Psalm 119 verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you've got to have God's word hidden in your heart. Remember we looked at Mark 4:15? And when the word is sown, the devil comes when? Immediately. That's why you have to hide it. That's why you have to protect it. You have to be aware that there's an enemy coming. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can walk in faith. Doesn't want you to know that when I open my mouth and declare what God has already declared, that you have victory, that you have provision. The devil doesn't want you to know Luke 10 verse 19. Behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Devil doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to walk in that. He wants you to keep silent. He wants you to not confess and not believe. Oh, let me just go forward for prayer. And they go forward for prayer, but you go forward with a faith. You know what? Anyway, let me not go there. You go forward, but you're not exercising your faith. There are times in Jesus' ministry when Jesus said, and when I saw their faith, he healed them. When he saw their faith, things happened. Faith can be seen. Romans 10 verse 10. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth. Come on, with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. And I think I've defined salvation. Here it is. Salvation. Soteria. Two Greek words. Sozo and soteria. This one here is soteria. Right? It means to save. It means deliverance. It means preservation. It means material, temporal, and spiritual deliverance. Everything gained, nothing missing. It means your provision. It means your protection. That's the package that we have here. And God has given that to us. And so we've got to get God's word in our mouth, okay, to get it into our hearts. But then we have to get it out of our hearts, through our mouth, into the atmosphere, to charge and to change the atmosphere and bring about the purposes that God has or intended to have for his people. The more scripture lives in you, the more heaven can flow through you. Did you hear that? The more scripture lives in you, that's why it's good to know God's word. It builds your confidence. It removes doubt, fear, and all those things that come against the enemies of confession, which we know, five chief ones that I've taught on in the past. The more scripture lives in you, the more heaven can flow through you. The Spirit of God cannot flow through a clogged heart. And I think we dealt with that last week Sunday. The Spirit of God dealt with that, not me. Last week Sunday. Alright? You cannot flow. The Spirit of God cannot flow through a clogged up heart. That's why we have to unclog our pipes. That's why we have to make sure that our heart is clean. It is right. There's no envy there. There's no bitterness there. There's no resentment. We've got to make sure we're free. Come on, shout with me, I'm free.
I'm free.
Alright, do it again like you're free. You're free. And when the Spirit of God is set free, guess what? It's free indeed. The Holy Spirit dwells in purity, not perfection. I tried that before and I keep failing. I don't know what's happening. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need counsel. Maybe you're trying by yourself and you keep doing the same thing the wrong way. And maybe what you need to do is to talk to somebody. Talk to one of your leaders. That's what we're here for. To help you along the way, to point out or to show you perhaps where you are getting it wrong. Let's look at some scriptures. My heart must be pure. Psalm 139:23. It says, "Search me, O God, try me, and know my anxiety." Psalm 51:10. "Create in me," the psalmist David said, a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." The one thing with David is when he sinned, he knew his sin. And he didn't have no problems whatsoever crying out unto God. That's what I love about David. And maybe that's why God loves David so much. He was a man after God's own heart. Okay? He knew how to cry out to God. Proverbs 4:23. "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Ephesians 3:17. Christ now in our hearts. Christ has got to be in our hearts and is there through his word. Ephesians 3:17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." The verse continues on. But the point I'm making here is that Christ wants to and should be and must be dwelling in your hearts so that you are firmly rooted and grounded in love to do the things that God would have you do. Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Keep your heart with all what? With all diligence. A steady, constant effort doing the right thing. Keep it with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. It's very important that we hear that. Do you believe the next screen that's coming up? If you do, I want you to say it out loud. Alright, that's you in doubt and unbelief. I want you to really say it. Make the devil mad, man. Say it out loud. But make it pray. Don't say yours, say mine. Ready? Go.
My breakthrough is here.
A bit louder.
My breakthrough is here.
One more time.
My breakthrough is here.
Question, do you really believe that?
Yes.
You see, the fight that you're going through, the struggles that you're going through, the things that you see, the devil might not know what it is in particular, but he knows that something's up. And that's why he's after you, because you're on the word. You're going to the right place. You're doing the right thing. You're serving God. But the truth is, your breakthrough is here. We ought to give God thanks for that. Your salvation package is provided for. You've got it. It's there. And we thank God for it. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I was going to do something, but I'm going to bother with that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as I'm about to pray, I just wondered today, is there anybody who said, Pastor David, you know, I just need to, I need to make some change in my life, you know. I've been hearing about God, I've been knowing about God, maybe I know God, but I'm not correctly aligned. I've got to align myself. Maybe it's my faith, and maybe I've been putting my trust and my faith in other things. Maybe it is an area of my life where, you know, I need to know, I need to release some things. I need to forgive those who need to be forgiven. Maybe I've got bitterness on the inside, resentment, all these kind of things that's inside of me that is holding me back. And, you know, just in your closing prayer, Pastor David, could you just pray for me? If that's you today, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. Thank you. Put your hand down. Is there anybody else to say, Pastor David, you know what? I just need Christ in my life. I've been hearing about him from, very small. And I just need more of Christ in my life. There is adjustments I need to make, changes that I need to make in my life. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. I just want to pray before I close. I want to pray for you as I close the meeting. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for those who are honest enough to raise their hands, Father. And maybe there's struggles going on here, Lord, that you know and you see, Father, and the Holy Ghost is tugging at people's heart. And I pray in Jesus' name that pride will not ride, but that, Father, humility and submissiveness will be our portion. So that as we yield to you, Lord God, the work of the power of the Holy Spirit can come in and work in his fullness in our lives. So, Lord, for those who raise their hands, I'm asking you to touch them. I'm asking you, oh God, to be with them. I'm asking you, Father, to help them, teach them now, 1 Peter 5:7, to cast their cares on you, because you do care for them, Father. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that there will be an inflow of your power, an inflow of your love like never before. That, Lord God, there will be a pep in their step, Lord. As they, Lord God, leave this place, they will leave with hope and a new reality and a conviction that, Lord God, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're asking or thinking, Lord, according to the power that's in us. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh. We thank you today for the reminder that, Lord God, of faith and the importance it plays. As we leave this place, we pray that, Lord God, we will be people of faith, people of power, that it will be active in our lives and not passive, Lord. That we will yield to you and we will yield to your promptings, to your leadings. We give you all the glory and we give you all the thanks and the praise right now for what you are doing, Lord God. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say,
Amen.
Can we stand enough here? I'm going to hand over the service in a moment, but let's stand enough here. Right where you're standing, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. You need a touch in your body right now. If it's not embarrassing, place that's not embarrassing, put your hand near it right now in Jesus' name. We're going to believe that everything will be gone. This is why Christ died and rose again, so that you can have total, complete healing in your body. Father, we just come against every sickness, every weakness, every disease in the name of Jesus Christ. Those seen outwardly, those things that may be happening on the inside of our bodies, Lord. Father, we thank you that there is nothing that the blood of Jesus Christ does not cover. And so right now we plead the blood of Jesus over every person, over every pain, Father, over every ailment, over every part of their body that hurts, that aches, Lord. Everything that is there that comes against their soundness and their wellness and their well-being, Father, we come against it now in Jesus' name. I rebuke pain. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke illness in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke discomfort right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we plead the blood of Jesus right now over your people, Lord. And we say, Father, move with your power and move, oh God, with the fullness of what you have. Lord, our faith is in you, not in our own abilities, not in ourselves. It's in you, Lord. So thank you, Lord God, for what you have already done, for what you have already provided. We give you praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say, I'm healed in Jesus' name.
I'm healed in Jesus' name.
I'm not paying attention to the pain.
I'm
not paying attention to the symptoms.
I am healed
because God's word says I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, for my healing, for my wholeness. Now put your hands together and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Joy. I'll pass over to you.